Would you pray with me? Lord, we do give you thanks for this day. We thank you for our time here this morning that we get to experience here with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we don't even have to worry about whether or not someone is going to come and break our meeting up. But Lord, we ask now that we focus on your word, and Lord, as we really focus on what it means to us to be a Christian in this world, I ask that you would help us understand that and know that we need to make you the priority in everything that we do. Lord, rid our minds now of just a few of the distractions that we might have going on in our minds so that we can focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a little bit ironic as I was thinking about our theme for today and as we focus on our Christian walk in this world, that a lot of our Bible studies, or nearly every one of our Bible studies that we have going on right now, is dealing with our priorities in life, and specifically our priority in our Christian walk. If you think back over the last 4 weeks that we've been talking about some of these key practices, now that we are a Christian, what are we going to do as we live in this world? As we think about worship, as we think about prayer, as we think about Bible study, and today is going to tie in all three of those with single-mindedness, all of these are really focusing on, hey, how do you spend your time? What are you doing to strengthen your relationship with God? What are you doing to equip yourself to live in this world as a Christian? I thought about this. I wanted to share just a quick story with you and see if you can relate to this. A man went to his office one morning, and he had a project that he really needed to get done that morning. And he sits down at his desk, and he starts to diligently work on this project. And boy, just a little ways into it, he thinks, oh, I forgot to put something up yesterday, and I need to go put that up before someone else has to do that. So he leaves his office, goes to another area at work, and puts up what he left out, and he returns to his desk, and then he sits down and diligently tries to focus on this project again. And boy, he's working away. He's really focused on that project. And then all of a sudden, this thought crosses his mind, hey, I'm thirsty. I need something to drink. So he leaves his desk and he goes to the kitchen area at work and gets a cup of ice and puts some water in it and takes it back to his office. Okay, he's refreshed now. He's ready to sit back down and focus on this project. About that time, he remembers, oh, man, there's a phone call I needed to make. I've got to make that. So he takes a break from his project again and he makes the phone call. And then he focuses once again on the project. Sound familiar? It certainly does to me, because that is a description of a lot of my days when I'm sitting right here in this office. How easy is it for us to get distracted? I mean, I can sit there and I can be thinking, I think I'm focusing really hard on what I'm working on, whether it's a bulletin, whether it's a sermon, whether it's a Bible study, and all these other thoughts are just racing through my mind. And it's hard to stop them. And I think it's probably pretty natural. And so what does it mean, though, to be single-minded? If you look up a definition, it's kind of the definition you might find is you have one priority. You're focusing on one thing. But how often is that the case in the world we live in today? I mean, we're usually trying to focus on several different things, and we know that we can't give one our full attention if we have all of these other things racing around in our mind. And so what does it mean to be single-minded? And I think what we want to really do this morning is look at this from the perspective of our spiritual life. Because we know we have all sorts of things going on in our personal and life here on this earth. So what does it mean to be spiritually minded or focused on our spiritual life? If we look at our gospel reading, for this morning. In fact, let me back up just a minute. Our key practice for today gives us the idea, or tells us what this single-mindedness is, if we can put that up. Say this with me. I focus on God and His priorities for my life. And so that's what it's going to mean to have this single-mindedness as we walk through this world. We focus on God and His priorities for our life. Our gospel reading for this morning makes this pretty clear. And once again, I moved stuff around here and I'm on the wrong page, but I caught it before I started reading, which is a good thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This is Jesus' words. I mean, he tells the people, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, we talked about this a little bit in Bible class. Well, I mean, what is the world that we live in say? What is our life all about? A lot of our focus in this world is on what? Possessions, things of this world. And it was even brought out that, and sometimes it's not even the physical, tangible things right now, but it might even be we're really focusing on saving for the future, our retirement. But what happens to all of these things of the world? They're here today and gone when? Tomorrow. But what about things that we store and treasure up in heaven? How long are they there? For eternity. Forever. And he goes on to say, "The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And so, I mean, here we have that great comparison of light and darkness. Darkness being spiritually blind, spiritually dead. Light being spiritually alive. And he's comparing this also to the eye. This is where it all happens. And I thought about this. If, not that we would want to be, and I feel for those who do, but yet they may have a better perspective on life than we do. If you were blind, would material things, possessions, be as big of a deal? Because you can't see them. Would you want that dress that your friend has? Maybe not, because you don't even know what it looks like, right? And so in a sense here, our eye becomes the most critical part that we have to watch, because when we look out and see all these things that other people have, what do we want? We want more. We want more of it. And so this darkness, this whole light and darkness thing. And then in 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And so here you get the picture of, I'm thinking about even in your work day, you usually prioritize things. And is it, I may have mentioned this last week or week before, people say they can multitask. Well, you can, but are you really able to give your full attention to one thing? And that's what it's going to mean to be single-minded in the way we live our lives as a Christian. Now, I do want to make one thing clear. Is it okay to want a newer car? Is it all right to wish you could remodel your bathroom or kitchen? Is it okay to want that dress that the other girl has? Is it okay to wish your bank account was a little bit bigger? Is it okay to want to be the best basketball or baseball player? Is it all right to want the best grades in school, in your class? Is it okay? Yes? No? Are you thinking this is a trick question? It is okay. But when those things consume our whole being and we're going to do whatever we can to accomplish that, that's where it becomes a problem. And that's where we begin to seek other things, treasures of this world, rather than storing up treasures in heaven. The Bible verse for today, the memory verse, is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It comes a little bit later in this passage where Jesus goes through, don't worry about what you wear or eat, because God provides that as well. The memory verse for this week is Matthew 6, 33. Would you read that with me? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6, 33. Okay. Have you ever read this passage and thought, oh, really? I believe I have before. Oh, really? If I really put you first, you're going to give all these things to me? Depends on what these things are, right? And what the passage is referring to, He's going to provide us with what we need. It may not be exactly what we want, but it's going to be what we need. And so this whole idea of single-mindedness, our priorities, I think our priorities, we have let them get out of hand. And to some extent, the world has shaped this. And I've said this before, we somewhat compartmentalize our faith in Jesus. How easy is it for us to talk about Jesus here at church? Pretty easy, right? Because we're not going to offend anyone when we talk about Jesus here, or hopefully not, right? How easy is it for us to talk about Jesus and our faith in our home? More than likely, pretty easy. What about when we get to school? What about when we get to work? What about when it comes to politics? How easy is it to talk about our faith in Jesus then? And what I'm getting at is I believe the world has conditioned us to compartmentalize. Oh, you can't bring Him here. You can't talk about Him here. It's okay. Just leave Him up there at your church or in your home, but don't bring Him into this discussion here. Right? And so the world has kind of conditioned us to do that, where I say, maybe so as far as like prayer in school or prayer in business or whatever, but can we live our Christian life out in these places? Most certainly so. In fact, we are supposed to. We need to have that single-mindedness. So single-mindedness is every aspect of our life is driven by our faith. Every decision we make, every word that we speak, every action that we take should be driven by what we believe, what the Bible teaches, and what our faith talks about. When I do the first commandment with the kids in confirmation, I ask them, or they're supposed to list everything that they do in a day. And then I go back and ask, okay, now check each one of those that deal with your relationship with God. And it's an eye-opener, because there's not hardly anything that does. Now, can you make God a part of all of that? Most certainly. And I hope we do. But final question I want to ask you is this. We've been talking about worship, prayer, Bible study, and now single-mindedness. These are all things and ways in which we can live out our Christian faith. But they sound a lot about what we do, right? What can I do? I'm in no way saying that we can earn favor with God. We cannot earn our salvation. But if I were to ask you this, are the Ten Commandments law or gospel? What is your answer to that? Law. I'm glad you said that. What if I suggested their gospel? Would you think I'm crazy? Let me tell you this. When God gave the Israelite people the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, we are told that God spoke these words to the people. I, the Lord your God, brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then he starts the Ten Commandments. What did he do? He reminded them of what he did in their life. He saved them. They were in Egypt. They were under harsh conditions. They were in slavery. And he, out of the goodness of his heart, brought them out of the land of Egypt. He's reminding them of that fact. And then he says, now, this is how I want you to live. He's not beating them over the head and saying, if you don't live like this, I'm not going to love you anymore. He's saying, I love you. You're my chosen people. Now here is a good way to live. Does that change your perspective on the Ten Commandments? What about on our perspective of how we live our life as a Christian? Because you see what God says to us, I saw you in your misery. I saw you in your sin. In fact, you were headed to destruction, eternal destruction. But guess what? I sent my son into the world to die for you, to bring forgiveness and life to you. And now, here is a way that you can live your life in this world as a Christian. Here is a way that you can respond to this incredible love that I have for you. Worship. Pray. Be in communication with me. Bible study. Study my words with your family, by yourself, with your church body. Be single-minded. Let every decision you make, every word you speak, every action you take be driven by my word. Seek me first. Don't wait till you're completely in trouble before you come to me. Come to me first. God loves us, and he wants a relationship with us. And I pray that we can have him as the center of our lives and that he becomes the first and foremost priority above anything else. How many of us look at our calendar to see if we can squeeze him in? Rather than saying, oh, you know, I can't do that today because I have church or I have Bible study. It's usually the opposite, right? Are you going to go to hell for that? I certainly hope not. No, you're not. He still loves you, but he wants time with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.